Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, titled, His Great Love.
This sums it up. We were by nature. That's important to get. I mean, you didn't have to be taught. You were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's what some people will throw in as an excuse.
Well, I'm no worse than anybody else.
If that makes you feel better when you're in hell, then go at it. That's not going to help. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, look around, God, everybody else was pretty much as bad or worse than I was.
God's not going to look at you and say, oh, okay. Well, we'll give you a pass.
No, because God is just. But we're going to stop here with this and point out the fact. God is just. But it's insane that anybody would go to hell because God has provided a way. He is just. So He has to send anyone who chooses to go to hell to hell. But He doesn't send anyone to hell of His choice. Sorry, Calvinists. Your theology stinks to hell. You are a cult. You are false. God did not create anybody to send to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if you go to hell, in spite of what the Calvinists say, you go to hell because you chose to go there. And because God is just, then that's what you get. The children of wrath, and you think about it, it's no wonder that God destroyed mankind with the flood. And it's a wonder that He saves any of us. Amen. That's what the wonder is. The wonder isn't that a lot of people died in the flood and there's going to be a lot of people in hell. The real wonder is that He saves any of us. And see, that's where you can really check people's attitude. You go out on the street, you talk to somebody, and they have this attitude. Well, I don't believe in a God who would send anyone to hell. Well, you just don't believe in sanity then.
Amen.
You don't believe in anything logical. You're just totally making it up. And you don't base it on anything other than your own opinion. Because God is holy. And see, when people understand who God is, then they look at themselves honestly. And they look at mankind honestly. And then it doesn't make sense that He would save any of us.
Amen.
With that in mind, thank God for this one little word. But. That little word, but, in the text says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. That is huge.
Amen.
That's what separates us from hell and puts us in heaven.
Yes.
God, who is rich in mercy. He's God is love, but don't skip the reality of His mercy. Mercy and grace are not the same. And you sometimes hear people talk about mercy and grace and they'll kind of muddy the waters and make it. They're not the same. Think it through with me. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. You understand that? The fact that you're here right now is a demonstration of God's mercy, because the moment you knowingly sinned was an act of rebellion against God, you should have been cast into hell right then.
Right.
So if you're unsaved, He's being merciful right now to you. But as a Christian, it's by His mercy that He didn't cast you into hell. He left you and allowed you to go on sometimes for years in your sin while He convicted you with His Holy Spirit. And when the time came that you were willing and turned to Him, repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved.
Amen.
All of that falls under His mercy. Because if it wasn't for His mercy, if people say, I want what I deserve. No, you don't. You do not want what you deserve. You don't understand what you deserve if you say that. Now, grace, not the same thing. Think it through. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve.
That's right.
Now, God didn't cast you into hell, but nothing says God had to save you, adopt you, and take you to heaven.
That's right.
See, not sending you to hell is wonderful. Grace is over and above not sending you to hell. He has given us all things, and none of it is deserved.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing to think through. But God, who is rich in mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. That's an awesome thought. He does not. Study that out. What do you deserve? God doesn't give you what you deserve. We deserve eternal death. The first half of Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." You've earned it.
Yes.
You just being a sinner deserve it. But over and above that, you've earned it. How many of you are old enough to remember?
We did it the old-fashioned way. We earned it.
Do you remember that commercial?
Yes.
Yeah, three of you are old enough to remember that.
Yeah,
it's on YouTube. Look it up. You deserve hell the moment you understand, the moment you have an awareness, but then from that point on, you're earning and earning and earning nothing but death. The wages of sin is death. God gives us what we do not deserve. And that's in the second half of the verse. For the wages of sin is death. But, there's that word again. Don't you love that? I love that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God. Let that sink in. Mercy and grace. Wonderful. The mercy of God is spelled out in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Stop there for a second. Isaiah says that even our works of righteousness, even our righteous acts, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags.
Amen.
And that's worse than a dirty dish towel.
Amen.
Some of you have done that study and you know what he's talking about there. And I'm not going to be gross. We're getting ready to go eat lunch, but study that. It's worse than a dirty dish towel. God doesn't think much of our righteous acts.
Amen.
But according to His mercy, He saved us. Instead of sending us to hell, by the washing of regeneration, you must be born again.
Amen.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost, there has to be a quickening. That's what we've been studying about in Ephesians 2. There has to be a quickening. You must be born again. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And again, we don't hate people when we tell them the truth. Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
It's only through Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
I am getting emails constantly from this local group. And they call it WIN. And I can't remember exactly what it stands for. But they are bringing all the religions together. And it's going on all over the world, going on all over the country. And they just can't understand why I don't want anything to do with it. And they have these meetings where all the religious leaders take turns and they get up and they tell you really what they want you to know about their religion so that you all can get along, you know. It's everybody just hold hands and get along. And, you know, I've been tempted. I've been tempted. And to go and say,
Worthington Interfaith Neighbors.
Doesn't that sound nice?
Coexist.
Coexist. I'm tempted to go there long enough for them to let me speak. And say, you know what? If y'all obey the laws, if y'all cut your grass, if y'all just even wave once in a while, I'm glad to have you as a neighbor. But if you do not repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell.
Amen.
Yeah. And as they're carrying me out, I would continue to preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
I'd have to have somebody there with video. Mercy and grace are not the same, but they are inseparable gifts from our loving God and Savior.
Amen.
And I think what's wrong with the world today is kind of twofold. Number one, people don't understand that they're loved.
Amen.
People don't understand that. But number two, they, as the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. There's another old one. I'm sorry, some of you aren't old enough to remember that. But there's a song, looking for love in all the wrong... They seek out a love that is not real.
Yeah.
How many of you know that if you have a illness and there is a legitimate pharmaceutical medicine for that, and you take a bottle that has that name on there, and you take that pill, but it's a sugar pill, that it will not do anything for you. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Everybody here aware of that? So, you have a disease called sin. The only medicine for that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you take any other religious pill, it will do nothing for you. Do you understand that? But God can do something because He's the only true God, the only true Savior, and so He responds by telling you, get busy.
Amen.
I said get busy. You're going to earn this. No. Not at all. Not at all. That's very exactly. Not at all. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to die a terrible death. I'm going to be beaten, tormented, crown of thorns pressed on my brow. I'm going to bleed out as they nail me to a cross, naked. They're going to mock me, spit on me, punch me in the face. I'm going to do all of that in your place. I'm going to do all the work. I'm going to die even though you are the one who deserves death. And of course, the response is the whole world says, thank you, Jesus. No. Only a very small number of people are turning to God with that wonderful mercy and grace and receiving that free gift. The masses are still spitting at Him. The masses are still mocking Him. And if they could nail Him to the cross with a hammer, literally, they would. Isn't it amazing? What you deserve, what I deserve, compared to what He has done and what He offers, and then the response. It's amazing. And it's not intellectual. There's no other explanation for it. It's all about a person's nature and their rebellious heart. And we do not deserve His grace. In the same text, Titus 3:7, that being justified by His what?
Grace.
We should be made heirs according to the what? Of eternal life. This is a hopeless world. I want you to understand something, and this helps you in preaching the gospel to the world, because as you know, they can just look at you and you creep, you know. Of course, I always tell this, and I'm going to run this in the ground, but it happens all the time. You're fat, you know. That's and you want to look at, you know, and just spit back or say, but then you think about this. Think this through. They act like that because they have no hope.
Amen.
They're nasty because they have no hope. These people who are all pride, you know, the whole pride thing, they are so full of themselves and they're hopeless. That's why they act like that. That makes it a little easier to put up with them for a time. But then there also comes a time where Jesus says not to cast your pearls before swine. As we have to pray about how to deal with these people. But God, who is rich in mercy, read that with me, for His great love wherewith He loved us. That's not redundant. For His great love wherewith He loved us. In other words, it's both a state, a condition in God that He loved us. And then He actually made it a verb when He acted upon that and died for us. God, by the way, is a feeling God.
Amen.
He's not stone. He can be grieved, by the way. And he loves sinners. But you know, the one thing that overrides that love and will on judgment day and for eternity is his hatred of sin.
Amen.
And so that if you don't receive his love, receive his free gift of eternal salvation, receive his son as your cloak, then he will not be responding to the particular person. He'll be responding to the wickedness and sin that he sees when he casts them into a lake of fire.
Amen.
Elsewhere, Paul put it this way, Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
See, it's like I said, when we're dealing with the lost and they're spiteful and mocking, Jesus died and he was looking forward and back. He knew the beginning from the ending. All the sin was put upon him. And he still did it. He knew that you were still going to be born. I was still going to be born. And we were still going to sin. We were still going to live in rebellion. We were still going to be undeserving.
Amen.
Ungrateful. And yet he still died for sinners. Do you feel loved?
Amen.
It's a serious question.
Amen.
Hey, listen, don't get me wrong. We talk about the fact this world is lopsided and all they talk about is love, 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 and all that. But that, see, what I hope you're getting is that's not real love.
Yeah.
So we'll mock that and make fun of it because it's fake.
Yeah.
It's of no use. But there's a real love that you should, and yes, you should feel it. Why? Because, well, let me jump ahead of myself. Feelings must be based upon and subject to what?
Faith.
See, your faith has to be where your feelings come from. If you're deriving your feelings from something else, then you're going to be miserable.
Yep.
But you derive your feelings from your faith. And where does faith come from? Read it with me. "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You see, that's why you fill yourself with the Word of God, and then when you're not feeling it, you remind yourself of the Word of God, and you start feeling it.
Amen.
And even then, if you still aren't feeling it, you just tell yourself, well, you should be feeling it. Why? Because it's true. And I'm not going to base my life on what I feel when what I feel is contradicted by the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is the authority, not my feelings.
That's right.
Amen. So when I ask you, do you feel loved, even if you don't feel it, you should say yes, because I know I should feel it, because I am loved.
Amen.
God's love is real.
Amen.
We must subject our feelings to our faith. Do you get that? Your feelings aren't up here. Faith is. You subject your feelings to your faith. Faith is where everything comes from. And it comes from the Word of God, not your own opinion, by the way. Amen. Again.
Amen.
Because too many people say that. They'll say, oh, well, I have faith. What are you basing it on? If it's not the Word of God, it's not faith.
There you go.
But when it's based in the Word of God, then your feelings are to be subject to your faith. What does God's Word tell us? Look at what God gave in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You should feel loved knowing that God loved you and gave His only Son. You should feel loved. See, a lot of people, they're basing what their emotional state and their feelings on how the world looks at them, how the world thinks of them, and how whether they think people accept them and people think I'm pretty. People think I'm smart. People think I'm talented. Who cares? Honestly, who cares?
Amen.
You don't use your talent, your skills, even your looks. You don't use those for the world or to get their gratitude or their applause. You use everything God has given you for the glory of God.
Amen.
Some of you were blessed with good looks. Others, like myself, have a face for radio. So, what did we do when we started the ministry? We immediately got on the radio. Amen? You take what God gave you and you use it for His glory. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you whether you feel it or not. Say that with me. God loves you whether you feel it or not.
Amen.
Amen. Have you thought about what God went through because He loved you? We sang about it. I think your reality check on the love of God in your life will improve if you'll just spend time meditating on what He did because He loved you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God.
He died for you. We just read John 3:16. One of the neat things is to look at the other 3:16s.
Yeah.
1 John 3:16 starts by saying, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us."
Amen.
See, I'm not just making some guesstimate here. This isn't Gregology. This is theology, that you should feel loved, and you will feel loved if you will meditate and live based on the fact that He laid down His life for us.
Amen.
That's hard theology, hard truth. And He didn't have to adopt us. He didn't have to. Like I said, He could have saved you and then just left you down here. You'll never die and, you know, grow your own food and, you know, that sort of thing. You don't ever have to worry about it. He could have done something like that. He didn't. He actually adopted us. 1 John again, chapter 3, but verse 1 starts out by saying, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." See, it's love that He reached out for us to adopt us. It's love that did that.
Amen.
And again, we close by seeing that His great love includes mercy and grace in the verse. Verse 5 ends by saying, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved."
Amen.
Giving to us what we do not deserve. Mercy and grace. We have a lot to learn about God's mercy and grace. Can you say amen about that?
Amen.
And it will take an eternity. And the good thing is that's what we've got. If you're saved this morning, you're saved in spite of yourself. Amen. I'm saved in spite of me. Because He loved me. Because He died for me. Because of Him and His great love. I'm saved. And I'm going to have all of eternity. I'm going to sing. You're going to be right there with me if you're saved. We're going to sing about His love.
Amen.
We're going to sing about His grace and His mercy.
Amen.
And we're going to continue. It's going to continue to dawn on us and deepen for eternity His great love. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. And we just thank You for Your great love. And Lord, to accept the truth that You love us, dying on the cross and shedding Your blood, and then as Your children adopted because You love us. All of this because of Your love. You're coming back to get us because You love us. You've prepared a place for us to return with You because You love us. We're going to spend eternity with You because You love us. Just an amazing thing. It's hard to teach on it because it's hard to put in words. But it's true. It's a wonderful truth. And so we just thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
On the last.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Sing that chorus again.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.